Hey, this is PJ. I was just here in the office working. I just got back from picking up the date of my surgery at the hospital. I got to share something with you guys. And I know you think that I'm a cruel, heartless, cold, kind of a crazy kind of a pastor that doesn't go by the books, I guess you can say. I want to share something with you. Let me douse the classical music in the background. Got to stand up. And I got to go over here to the deal. Now. All right. I'm coming on the street coming from visiting the doctor. And the doctor gave me a date for my surgery. And it's going to be around December the 1st, around there. That's when the surgery is going to be. So I was going down the street and I passed by Joe's house. I just call him Joe. He and I went to high school together, to Fremont. Joe's daddy was a pastor of an apostolic church. That speaks volumes. And his grown daughter was... I as a neighbor, I stopped and I said, hello, Joe. And I said hello to his daughter. She was getting in her car. And we were talking. I was complimenting him on how green his lawn is. And that when I walk Broman, I dare not let Broman squat because he sees this green carpet and he just wants to, languish in it or do his number. And so I said, I want you to know that many a times I've stopped my dog and we laughed. And I told him, I said, yeah, I just left. I said, they gave me a prostate exam for a biopsy and they didn't find any cancer. And so I told him about the prostate surgery procedure and so that I would not have as difficulty urinating as I've had before because I have an enlarged prostate. And sometimes when the prostate is enlarged like that, they think that it's cancerous. So, of course, they have to take a biopsy, right? So anyhow, I tell Joe and his daughter, these are apostolic. These are supposed to be Christians. And so they said immediately, well, we're praying for you. And I said, I don't need you to pray for me. And they said, what? I says, I have the results of the biopsy already. And I said, the results was negative. They didn't find any cancer. And so they said, well, we're still praying for you. I said, why? That the surgery will go well. And I said, why? They said, well, we want you to be well. I said, why don't you pray? This is what I said to these two Christians. I said, why don't you pray for God's will to be done? And I told him, if I die on the table, I die. And it is okay with me because it is okay with the one that created me. I want all you professing Christians to listen to me because if you don't get this, you won't understand what I'm about to tell you within the next few seconds. No, I'm going to tell you right now. You don't know God. You don't know anything about him. You never did. I don't care how much money you're making. I don't care how large your church is. I don't care how prosperous you think you the one that's listening to this tape, like me, I'm 67. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 13. You don't need to have a lot of years. You don't need to marry, buy a car, do anything. All you need to do is have the moral consciousness in your mind that there is a God to whom you will give an account to of how you live. Now, I don't think these people know God at all. Because they thought that I was crazy. They began to tell me that there's something wrong with me. Why would anyone want to die? I said, because it is natural and all men that are born of a woman die. I guess they have some kind of crazy thought that, well, since the rapture is going to take place, I want to be here when he comes to rapture me. You may not. No. What if the rapture, quote unquote, doesn't take place in your lifetime? You're going to have to die It's a process of when your spirit leaves your body gets old, decrepit, full of disease or something, and would die. All word faithers, all people that are apostolics, all Baptists, all Presbyterians, all Methodists, all tongue speakers, non-tongue speakers, all religious people, all religions, Buddhists, Islam, all of them are going to die. Everybody's going to die. They've been dying on this big ball ever since people have been here. The process has started. It shall never end. My question is, why couldn't these so-called professing Christians, a guy that I went to high school with, his father was a pastor. Oh, I don't want to curse, but what in the heck have we done in terms of teaching? Christianity is a faith. When believed, you know you're going to die. Whenever I go to the hospital to get a checkup, I'm not getting a checkup to see whether I would live. Let me tell you, the urology clinic called me, and when they told me that my prostate was not cancerous, she said, "Oh, you must have made a positive confession." I told her, I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. And she said, "Well, you're a pastor, aren't you?" I said, "Yes." "Well, you must have made a positive confession because you didn't have cancer." I said, that would be negative to me that I didn't have cancer, because I want to die to be with the one that promised me eternal life. And I can only be with him if I die. You get it? It's not about staying here. It's not about being well. It's not about having all of that. We have seriously lost our minds in American Christianity. Now, I'm going to put the challenge out there for those of you that listen to PJ. What's your view on that? Are you more excited about leaving this planet or staying here? Tell the God's honest truth and stop shucking and jiving. Because if you want, "Well, I got little children." You need to die and leave them. They'll be all right. If they're in God's custody, they will be taken care of. God doesn't need you to take care of your children. He's assigned that task for you, and you should relish in taking care of them in the proper way. If you can call with some of these parents taking care of children, that's not taking care of children. Give them everything they want. Never chastise them. Let them have their way, run roughshod, all in the house. Oh, no. Oh, no. Now, you see, I need to hear from somebody. And you know what? I know I have a faithful few that's going to say, "Me too, PJ. I'm ready to..." Hey, don't say that just to try to be my friend. I'm talking about giving me some reasons why you know you are ready to die. And tell me why dying is all right. The only person that would tell you that dying is not all right is a depraved sinner. You better hear me. A depraved sinner will tell you, will tell me that I'm crazy for telling them that I wouldn't mind if I died on the operating table on December the 1st. Wouldn't even care. The only reason that I hope I wouldn't die on that operating table because I didn't have a chance to give the final exams to my philosophy students in three classes. I would hope that God would give me at least that much time to help those babies, especially the ones that is taking moral philosophy and ethics with me. Because I love teaching the babies the truth about what's happening in the world. But when I look at Christians, the ones that are supposed to be born again of the Spirit of God, the ones that they have just as much fear in them as the world does. And, oh, by the way, I didn't tell you, this guy that I went to high school with is a pastor just like I am. He is a pastor of an apostolic church. You mean to tell me? Well, no wonder them fools are jumping all up and down and screaming. They're trying to shout away death. I went to visit his church one time while they were all running around in the church in circles. I didn't get up and run, nothing. They all looked at me. I looked back at them with the expression on my face, "What the hell's wrong with you?" excuse my French. I said, what's wrong with you? Looking at me like, how come you ain't up running? I don't have to run for God's favor. I don't have to stump the devil and slam him down. He can't touch me unless God lets him. You remember in the Bible? Wait a minute. Let me read some verses about death here. Why must one die? One must die because death, eternal death, is a necessary consequence of sin. Romans 6 and 16 says, do you not know that if you yield yourselves, any one as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either to sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. Now, I've yielded myself to God, so I'm not worried about dying. If death comes, see, death doesn't mean that you've sinned. Death comes because of what Adam is, okay, and what Adam did. All right, I want you to read Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. It says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but the ends is the way of death. So you got to choose a way. My way is to obey God and to follow God and to love God. That means in whatever he pronounces on me, I obey him, I follow him, I love him. If he pronounces death on me, on the operating table, it is well with my soul. It should be well with my friend's soul, my congregation's soul that I pastor. It should be well with my family's soul. It should be well with everybody that knows me. I tell everybody that knows me, when I die, don't be crying. What the heck's wrong with you? You're going to have to die, fool. I don't know why black folk, especially black folk, a lot of other people are like that too, but especially black folk, and it sickens me with this, oh, God won't let you die. My friends, you better read your Bible. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. See, rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So, when he kills my body before my soul goes to heaven, okay, I'm not fearing him. Kill the stupid body. Take it out through cancer. Take it out through somebody shooting me in the head. I don't care how you do it. Because to be absent from this crazy, decrepit body is to be present with my Lord. Oh, my friends, my friends, my friends, we don't want to hear about this kind of death, do we? Do we? But you know what it is? I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you something. I like 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10. It says, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. See, I'm delivered from the wrath to come. I'm not delivered from dying. So when a Christian tells me, oh no, you don't want to die, they have pronounced the fact that they are no believer because they don't want to die. See, this thing about Jesus come and get me, they would hope that in the end that Jesus would come to get them. And so they go through all of these self-righteous acts and deeds to try to appease the gods, so to say. Oh no, my friends. No, 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 no. In the Logos Bible, it talks about the death of saints. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 18, it reads like this. Then also those who have fallen asleep, that means died in Christ, have perished. In other words, their life has perished. Their body is perishing. But they are not perished. They are living. They are alive now, waiting on the end of time to come to an end. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him with him those who sleep in Jesus. So if I sleep on the operating table in death, don't wake me. The R&B singer Anthony Hamilton, I think it was in his second album, because I have it, and there's a song on there called If You See Me Sleeping, Please Don't Wake Me Until the Savior Comes. What he was saying is that if I'm in an automobile accident or something like that. Don't try to revive me. Let the Savior come and take me. This man was so confident enough, like I am, because every true believer is. Every true believer knows that death is a release from life and peace, especially if you know the Savior. I am in a dilemma about a Christian that does not want to die. And this pastor and his daughter down the street, who's a grown woman, was talking like that. And please, you don't have to agree with me. You better agree with God's word. Paul writes in Philippians 1:21, For to me, to live is Christ. And then he says it wonderfully, and to die is gain. That's what I was trying to share to the so-called Christians down the street to me. Dying is gaining. Oh, I don't know what's wrong with you. We need to pray for you. We need to all pray. I said, don't conjure up don't conjure up your beliefs for me. I have a God that cares for me. I said, see, I don't need, that's why I've told you folk, if you pray for me, fine. But please don't pray for anything that I don't want you to pray for. Ask me first. Ask me for, oh God, give him a mind to never want to die, but to be here for, I don't want to be here till I'm 100 years old. The heck I want to be here that long for? Somebody out of their mind want to be here. Man, please. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. See what the word of God says. These all died in faith, but having received the promise, but having seen afar off, were assured of them, that is the promises, embraced them, that is the promises, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's why I want to die. That's what I was trying to explain to the pastor. I'm just a sojourner here. I'm not here for good. I told him that house down the street is not mine. This car that I'm in is not mine. And that's what I was trying to share with these people. And you have to understand how really important that is. Hello?
Hello. We are calling today to talk to you about your property that is upside down in equity. As of April 1st, 2011, the United States government has passed new regulations and standards for HAFA. HAFA enables all homeowners to have legal representation at no cost to you. Stop harassing lender calls, prevent a foreclosure, save borrowers credit, and receive up to $5,000 in your pocket. Press 9 if you are not interested in learning the new facts about HAFA and would like to be taken off our HAFA pre-approved list. Or if you would like to find out if you qualify for...
If I ever lose my house, I'm just going to let it go. Because the way that idiot that we have in the White House is doing, and the Congress and all the rest of these no-thinking, nonsensical nincompoops are operating, you will be receiving phone calls like that too. I don't even know about no HAFA. And who told her that my house was upside down in equity? She don't know nothing about me because she's nothing but a recording. It's all a game. I wanted you folk to hear the foolishness that's going on in this country. Now, you think I'm concerned about that or anything else that doesn't matter? Wouldn't it be wonderful for me to think about dying, getting out of here? Because if you die, you can leave that burden on your daughters. No, they just lose a house and everything else. I have a living will. It's solidified. Well, you got to be careful of that. No, why? My home is not here. My home is in heaven. Do you guys understand? Are you picking up what I'm trying to tell you? I would hope that you do, because if you don't, now, do you remember what Zacharias said to God after he saw Jesus, the Savior, come? He says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, Luke 2:29. according to your word. Do you see the way this Old Testament seer looked at God? He says, I'm ready to die. I've seen the Savior that's coming to bring the salvation to the world. Now let me die. How come he didn't say, oh no, y'all pray that I stay here? I'm telling you, black religion in my community has taken the face of evil. That is not biblical Christianity. That is a bunch of Tommy rot. And I'm telling you, any word faith, charismatic, tongue-speaking, backwards masking, devil religion, you know, it's like I was listening to, I told you the other night that I turned on the radio station that I used to appear on. I think it was a Sunday night between 11:30. And I heard a voice in the booth that I broke in on radio. As a matter of fact, he was a treasurer of my ministry, and he and some other clowns kicked me out of the church, kept the money, and stole my radio ministry. When I went down there to talk to them about the radio ministry, they said, Mr. Coleman, we only deal with the man that, man, you know what that white boy told me? We only deal with the man that writes the check. I'm the one that signed the contract for the radio ministry. And I heard that fool on there backing up Craig Hawkins, which is a bogus apologist. Man, I can't believe this. And then he was saying, these are the words that Easy said. He said, we're not concerned about what your churches call and what you believe. We just want to teach you what the Bible says. And if you know anybody in any church, in any denomination that wants to take classes, give them to give the professor, that's what he's calling Craig Hawkins, the professor, a call. Now, see, ministry is just a whoremongering cash cow to that dude, to that entire ministry. And for anybody in that ministry following that, that knows, ask how that man got to the position that he got into. Ask how he does it. Because the money that the people are sending, this, he's a fraud. Hawkins is a fraud. And they see Christians as cash cows to get money out of them. They would never tell them the truth. I wonder if you would ever hear on one of their radio programs, they're all there telling them that they're ready to die today. They wouldn't mind dying to go see the Savior, to leave this planet, that there's nothing here that holds them but the will of God for their lives. But they would say the will of God for them to be a cash cow. It's ridiculous. I listened to him on the radio and I just chuckled and laughed and turned the radio off and went right to sleep. Fell right off to sleep. And God was saying, and the beat goes on. Now here, a pastor down the street from me, afraid to die, is his daughter's afraid to die. That's tantamount to what his whole doing church is. I know some of you may be saying, why don't you ask your home? I've already told them, if you're afraid to die here, don't be calling me when you're dying, crying, because you call me, I'm going to be laughing at your butt. Not concerned about you. We all got to die. Oh, isn't it a shame? Oh, they died at such an untimely death. There is no death that is untimely. The Bible says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, after that, the judgment. Now, that appointment is not making God cry. And if it's making you cry, you don't know God. Because there is a day set in which you are going to die also. I love this. I love just talking about this. And it so outraged me. Now, death at times is met with reservation with some people. And Joseph said to his brother, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now we see Joseph was looking regretfully at death. But now, Joseph in the Old Testament, oh, by the way, that was Genesis 50 and 24. But you have to understand, oh, well, let me give you another one. Let's go to Joshua 23:14. Because Old Testament people regrettably looked at death like this. But we are New Testament saints. Joshua 23:14 says, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. That means dying. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that no one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you, and not one word of them has failed. Joshua knew this, and he was dying. And wouldn't it have been great if he had said, now praise God that he's taken me out. That he just said, I'm going the way of the whole earth. Do you know what he was saying? We all gonna die. All of us. And of all the people in the world to think about death and to cherish it and to honor it coming for a Christian, to not want to die is a major contradiction of his faith. Now, when I look at the Muslims going around blowing up themselves and everybody else for the cause and for Allah and everything, they have more sense to me than the so-called professing Christian that's afraid to die. Because when that Muslim got all that dynamite tied up around him and he hits that button, he immediately feels nothing. He feels absolutely nothing. He is gone. And everybody else near or around him or her is gone with him. Now, that is the way it's supposed to feel for the person that is truly a Christian and knows God. Of course, we think about the way we die. We hope we don't die miserably, suffering, going through painstaking agony. None of us wants to do that, but not to want to die. So this is what I want. Don't have to spend all day here. I want to hear from you. Not just that you know you're going to die and you're okay with that, but tell me in the note why you're okay with it. Listen, without using a bunch of God talk. In other words, without quoting scripture. Tell me why you're okay with leaving the planet. Because see, when you have to think about it, there's a discipline that you have to do to your mind. You have to say, John is talking about being no more. I'm sitting in my studio. I was in the 405 freeway. If a tanker truck fell over on me, I wouldn't be here making this webcast. I'd be long dead. And I wouldn't be thinking about doing this webcast because I couldn't think in the body anymore. And I couldn't do the webcast because physically my body has no spirit in it and the soul is gone. So they look in my wallet and they see the license. And if there's any phone numbers on my cell to call my daughters, your daddy's body is on the freeway dead. We just thought we'd tell you. Come and get it. Lest we cremate it and trash everything else. So how you feel about it? How should that pastor have answered me? And the next time you say that John Coleman is out of his mind because he takes things, I'm not taking it out of context, and I'm not taking it too serious. Those people are not Christians. And I'm not going to treat them like Christians. Because they are not ready to die. What is it? I can't recall the verse right now, but Jesus said, be you also ready, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. This verse for years has intrigued me. Be ready, for he's coming to get me. Now, when he comes to get me, he doesn't necessarily mean the rapture. He comes to get me in death. Now, do you understand? Dying on an operating table is wonderful to me because they're going to etherize me. They're going to put me under. And then they're going to put these tubes all up in me. And flesh is going to be burning on the inside. And if my body can't take that shock, it's going to shock my body and cause my spirit to exit it. And when that happens, I will start off on the grandest adventure that God has ever had designed for the human psyche. I will leave this planet Earth. I will leave the Obama nation, taxes to be paid, gas to be put in the car tank, watching the graduations, listening to the music, watching the movies, eating the food. I'll be gone to another part of the universe. I will have a chance to stand before my Creator and tell him face to face, or however it is, how much I love him. I will be able to tell him how sorry I am for being fleshly. I will be able to confess all of my faults before God, the maker of the universe. And I just desire to hear him say one thing to me. Come, you blessed of my Father, and inherit the things that I prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Now, you write and tell me that you're not ready for that. That's all right. That's all right. Because if you die tonight and you stated the case that you're not ready to do that, then you know you're no Christian. And if you die tonight, it's all catch as catch can. It's all thrown up. It's like a wrestling match. We don't even care who wins. But you care, don't you? Because now you're thinking. You want to know what the role of the Christian is? To do exactly what I did to you. In the most, see, oh my goodness. Sometimes I listen to these Christian blogs and listen to them have these discussions with each other, and they're talking about nonsensical stuff. Stuff that makes no sense at all. What does the Bible say? Mean when they say that? Why do you do this? Nonsensical. Ask the important questions. And the important question is not if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Because a lot of so-called Christians would say, oh, yes, yes, yes. I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Don't ask him that question. That's too easy. Ask him this one. If God chose that as you walk down the street, a bus would come up behind you, you did not see it, and it would hit you at about 55 miles an hour and instantly kill you. And God knew that the bus was going to do it. Could you glorify him on the behalf of that bus killing you to take you into judgment? There it is. Now, I didn't ask you, do you like thinking about that? Nobody wants to think of the impact of the bus hitting you. But I'm saying that if God allows the bus to careem off of the street on the sidewalk and to hit you and bust you up in 1,000 pieces, could you say right now, all praises be to his glorious name. I love him even more so because he chose that afternoon to take me out. Praise be the name of Jesus. Could you say that? Because if not, you're no Christian. Well, I guess with that, I'm going to do my thing and turn my music back on.
because there's no need to say anything else.
Am I going to have a further conversation with this man down the street? No, because I've had the same conversation with him 3 or 4 times. And he told me he thought that I was out of my mind. And he just solidified it. And he passed it on to his daughter. I talk with my daughter and I tell her, I says, be sure your sin will find you out, baby. Hey, thanks for coming to the website.